Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live Chat Room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. This is Through the Looking Glass with Scott Wheeler on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler on TNT Radio. We had news break recently in the past few hours, and that is that Twitter, under Elon Musk's direction, has released a series of emails that are evidence of Democrat Party interference with Twitter in the 2020 election. Is anyone surprised? Democrats interfering with the media? Isn't that what they, basically the entire media almost is part of the Democrat Party messaging team. And so this was no surprise. What we need to know is the why. What was the basis for Democrats using influence over Twitter? Was it a promise of favors? That's when you run into legalities. Every politician tries to influence the media. That's normal. That's normal behavior. If you're a Republican and the New York Times writes something dishonest or misleading about you, you call them and say, as I have done in the past, I wasn't a politician, I was a journalist, but I was bashed by a reporter. The New York Times wanted a comment from me, and I gave him a comment, and it actually changed the direction of the reporting on it. Politicians do this all the time. When the media, or in this case, Twitter, when it takes actions based on what that is, what the party in favor, that in their favor, based on promises of special consideration by the government, that's where the illegality comes in. That's where the First Amendment gets trampled on. That's when corruption is apparent. And we haven't seen all the evidence here yet. Was Twitter just being a friend to the Democrat Party? That wouldn't be a violation of the law. Did the Democrats use promises of government favors to get Twitter to bend to its will? That would be against the law. That's what we need to find out in this. We're going to talk about elections, as I've been promising since the 2022 election. We're going to get to that in just a second. One more thing on this, though. We know I've reported this on Through the Looking Glass in the past about Mark Zuckerberg, the chairman of Facebook. And I pointed out in 2016, he was all about free speech. And he was. He was all about free speech. And Donald Trump won the 2016 election, and Democrats blamed Zuckerberg for Trump winning. They called him up to a hearing on the Hill, and Democrats gave him a very clear message. You better get with the program or else. And then Zuckerberg fell into line. We saw that in the 2018 elections. We saw it in the 2020 elections, where he was so terrified of what the Democrats were going to do to him, he ponied up almost $500 million to run these local election things. A lot of that money went to Georgia. And that's where our first expert witness comes in. David Cross is a financial manager in Duluth, Georgia. He's a portfolio manager, and he owns his own firm, U.S. Asset Management. But Mr. Cross has used his mathematic acumen to analyze election results in Georgia and discovered many anomalies that he believes changed the outcome of the 2020 election. He also has some information on the 2022 election. So let me bring Mr. Cross in. Mr. Cross, welcome to Through the Looking Glass.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
Before we jump to 2022, let's talk for a minute about what you discovered about the 2020 election that really stood out to you? There was a lot of evidence in 2020 of problems, especially in Fulton County. What did you find?
Wow. So when I started the search for the smoking gun, so to speak, I thought, you know, within 6 months we would find like the one smoking gun that proved that the Democrats did it. And as it turns out, what we've learned on this 2-year journey is I think we're up to about 14 different ways that elections can be hacked and manipulated and ostensibly rigged. And it's not just the Democrats. It is what I would call the politocrats. It is the Democrats and the Republicans that are serving in positions for 15, 20, 30 years. It's those people that are in power that benefit the most from a system that doesn't work properly.
When you say the system doesn't work properly, what's the headline? What's the lead on the 2020 election that stood out to you the most? You ran a lot of numbers. We've talked, you and I have discussed this before. I've interviewed you on the air before, not on this program, but in an investigative television report. We talked about some things that really stood out to you. What was the top line or the top two or three lines that you discovered that made you concerned about 2020?
Yeah, Scott, actually the most important thing that I learned was that in Georgia, the results in Georgia could not be verified, not by anybody. We had 1.7 million ballots that were where the ballot images were destroyed under authorization from the Secretary of State's election director at the time. And that made it so that the information didn't tie back in, and they didn't even have what are known as security files that show that the ballot images that they gave us were even authentic. So Georgia should have never been certified. It is an uncertifiable mess.
But yet it was certified by the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger.
He'll say three times. He'll say it was certified three times, but it wasn't. It was an unmitigated, sloppy dumpster fire of a mess.
Well, he ultimately admitted to me, even Raffensperger, that is, admitted that Fulton County was a disaster. That's where a lot of the evidence came from. A lot of poll workers and that I interviewed in Fulton County, and we for the audience, for the international audience, we should explain. Fulton County is where a good part of Atlanta resides, and you have parts of Fulton County that are more Republican up in the north, but Atlanta itself is very Democrat, heavily Democrat, and you've had a series of corrupt mayors and scandal. And that's where the heaviest voting population is. So the election board, the election, the people running the election in Fulton County are Democrats, hardcore Democrats, and they play the game very well. And so this is where, and Trump lost Georgia by 10,000 votes, roughly between 10 and 11,000 votes. And you had tens of thousands of ballots cast in Georgia. It started with Raffensperger in even 6-8 months before the election. He entered an agreement with Stacey Abrams, a Democrat Party activist at that time, who was running around claiming the 2018 election had been stolen from her. And he made a deal with Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, without getting the Georgia State Legislature to approve it. Cut a deal with Stacey Abrams that said she could manage voting ballot boxes, drop boxes, and ballot harvesting, and she did. And we ended up with Fulton County having tens of thousands of ballots with no chain of custody, just dropped off. Nobody knows where they came from or whether or not they were legally cast or not. And so it put Fulton County at that time, immediately after the 2020 election, into the spotlight. that Fulton County is also where they had the duffel bags of ballots, and they shut the arena down, the vote counting arena down, supposedly over ostensibly because of a flood in the bathroom, and it didn't actually happen. And they then, after everybody and the media left, you had vote people sticking around pulling duffel bags of ballots out, which they defended and said that was completely legitimate. And in fact, one of those people who pulled the ballot boxes, the duffel bags out, sued the news, a couple of news outlets, and won, prevailed. And those news outlets issued letters of apology.
She did. And Scott, you know, the reality is that the Stacey Abrams consent order that went through was an unconstitutional overstep by the Secretary of State's office. And the Attorney General has done nothing. And the Inspector General has done nothing. It's as if the rights of the citizens of Georgia are just for sale.
It's a very bizarre thing. I had many questions in the about since then. Just going back to the Republican primary, you had a very well-liked congressman running against Raffensperger for the Secretary of State position in Georgia. And Raffensperger, you know, this wasn't a statewide election, it was just the Republican primary. Raffensperger is not liked by anyone in Georgia, any Republican, I should say. I mean, I worked a lot as a journalist down there after the 2020 election. You were hard pressed to find any Republicans who could say a good thing about him. And you had the congressman, his name slips me at the moment, who ran against him, who's very popular, very likable guy. Raffensperger comes off as kind of this mean-spirited guy who only talked to friendly press. And the competitor was very pleasant, open, and yet you had do you recall his name, David? Mr. Cross, the congressman.
No, I don't. I was more interested in the libertarian that was running, a guy named Ted Metz. Ted
for Secretary of State. You
know exactly what's going on. Yeah, he was running for Secretary of State.
So anyway, Raffensperger won the Secretary of State, the incumbent, won by a huge margin in that primary, Republican primary. It made no sense to me. And yet, at the same time, you had this unlikable guy, very unlikable guy who didn't talk to the media, especially wouldn't talk to the conservative media. I spoke with him on a few occasions, and at one point I went to his office and actually stormed his office, and his staff was very upset. But we went to try and get a response because he had refused. We could not get him to talk. Well, he did at some point talk to us on a couple of occasions. His name was Jody Heiss, by the way. Was the congressman who ran against him, but and very popular guy, won his own district by very wide margins, and so it raised a lot of questions in my mind about the fairness of those elections in Georgia. But what Mr. Cross, did you find in 2022? In the 2022 elections, in general, did you find similar anomalies that you discovered in 2020?
We found new and different ones. So, like I said, every time we dig a little deeper, we just continue to find more. And it's, you know, you just feel like it's a mine that goes to the center of the earth. So the most current and pressing thing that we found was in Williamson County, Tennessee, last year in October 2021. There was a very tiny little election for an alderman in Williamson County, Tennessee. And at the end of the day, the machines were being put away, and somebody said, "Wow, that's really strange. The numbers don't match." And there was a poll watcher that was there that checked things out. And sure enough, he found that that 330 paper ballots were inside two scanners, but they only tabulated 98 votes. And somehow 232 ballots were just skipped. So that's 70%. And the United States government was actually called in to do an investigation. They brought in Dominion, they brought in ProVNV, and they brought in another company, I think called, I think it's called QLI. And anyway, so they did an investigation, could not figure out what was causing the ballots not to be counted properly. They ran them through multiple times, came up with the same result. And ultimately, it was ruled as a, you know, inconclusive root cause. But several weeks later, Dominion came back and said, aha, we found it. When a certain ballot goes through, it gets flagged as a provisional ballot. Provisional ballots go to the not cast folder, but the software erroneously coded that particular ballot as provisional and didn't count it. And then every single one that went in after it was also not counted until the machine was reset. And so they said that that was the issue. And rather than going back and fixing the code, Dominion came up with a workaround to address the issue. And so this thing that they found evidence in something called the system log files that indicated something called a QR code signature mismatch. And I had seen those words in the files from Gwinnett County for 2020, but I didn't
Gwinnett
understand.
County, Georgia. Let me.
Yeah, Gwinnett County, Georgia.
Yeah.
In a primary for 2020, there was a lady who was running for judge. It's a friend of mine, and she lost very unexpectedly. And we couldn't figure out what on earth happened, but I remember seeing those words QR code mismatch. So after I read the report earlier this year, it came out on March 31st. I sent out open records requests to all the counties across Georgia, and only 66 counties got back to me. I'm sorry, 67 counties got back to me, and 65 out of the 67 had the exact same error that Williamson County, Tennessee had. So I do not believe that the machines here are running properly. And what's even worse is that on all the data that we receive from the different counties, they're all running software that is not certified and authorized by the state of Georgia. So it's like pulling on a string on a cheap sweater. This thing is just falling apart again.
These are not small problems. These are machines, many of which are used, and the programs are used in systems all over the country. And so if they're unreliable, if you find these errors on a small scale, and even though the election officials are supposed to test them, and they're supposed to check and make sure that they're counting ballots properly with fake ballots before they go to the actual elections, but apparently these doesn't seem to make a difference, does it? Even if they're
there was a testing expert named Jack Cobb that came out and said, I swear those machines work. And you know, he was eventually discredited as an expert witness because he had no training and no experience in testing machines, but yet he was the guy who was signing off on all the machines working properly in Georgia. So again, you know, the testing,
who hired
the testing
him? Do you know?
Is a farce.
Who hired him? Do you know? Whose decision was it to?
I believe, and I'd have to double check this, but I believe it was the Secretary of State. But he was recommended. My understanding is that he was recommended by Dominion. So it's just this, you know, it's just this big circular tornado of stupidity that's going on in the state of Georgia. And one thing, Scott, that I think your viewers or your listeners need to know is that Georgia has a little bit different system that they use here. So when you go to vote in Georgia, you check in at a poll pad that's connected to the internet using your driver's license. Then they give you a little card. You go over to something called a ballot marking device, and it's like a little computer screen, and you touch, you know, who you want to vote for. Now, the problem with that is that that is a handicap accessible device. That was its initial intent. And now it's being used throughout the state. And the problem with that is that you have a computer interpreting what you're touching on the screen. And then once you make your selections, the computer in Georgia creates a QR code that it prints on the ballot for you. And that QR code is an interpretation of the interpretation of the things that you pressed on the screen. And when the ballot is printed out, you then take it over to a scanner, and then the scanner has to uninterpret your QR code. There's so many opportunities here for errors, computer errors, people errors, technology problems that honestly, I think I would trust 10th and 11th graders more to count ballots accurately than I would these machines.
So it's this is a systemic wide problem in Georgia, which is a state that for the past 30 years, 25 years, has been mostly Republican. And it was and now it's turning back, although the 2022 election for governor kind of defied that trend. But the fact that two Democrat senators won in the 2020 election runoffs suggested that this was not a state that had been, it really defied the trends of being stronger and stronger Republican over the decades. And then suddenly you get two, and in the case of the two Democrats, they were very leftist. They were not like the Sam Nunn brand of Democrats. They were leftist activists with a lot of baggage, and neither one of them had run for office before. Maybe it was the quality of the Republicans on the ballot, perhaps, but at the same time, it just made no sense whatsoever.
No, and none of it does. And the reality is that there were legions of Republicans that went out to vote, just last on November 8th here in Georgia, legions of people. And yet there were so many races where it was so close, including the runoff that we're having right now between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock. I don't believe it was that it was that close, but there's no way for me to verify that. That's just my suspicion. There's no way for me to verify it because the state of Georgia will not let me or any other citizen see the ballots. They will only let us see ballots that are produced by Dominion, which Dominion themselves have said that the best way, the CEO, John Poulos, said the best way to, to vet election results is to pull out the paper ballots and let people verify it. And the state of Georgia won't let us do it.
Let me say that in the next half hour, we're going to be speaking to a man who developed a voter app called Votify Now, who actually reports some of these situations. It allows people to report problems, voting problems, and he's going to talk about Maricopa County, Arizona. This does sound like inside baseball, but to a larger global audience. But the reality is, these elections come down to in the 2020 presidential election. The reason we have Joe Biden in office is because of Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And in those states, it was the election was determined by 50,000 votes total in those four states. And right. when you deal with that, those kinds of numbers, these small microcosms are where you find the problem. In Philadelphia, for example, in Atlanta, in Detroit, and in Madison, you find just a few thousand vote difference, a few thousand miscounts, or a few suspicious bags of ballots showing up from some union worker's trunk changes the outcome of an election for president and basically the leader of the free world, this is a pretty substantial thing. In short, before we get to the bottom of the hour break, Mr. Cross, can you tell us, you said that the best way to ensure election security is to look at the actual ballots themselves. Would you advocate for, say, for example, one day voting and paper ballots so that it's very obvious and much more transparent than the process is now?
I absolutely would. I don't know why we don't vote, why we all don't vote on a Saturday or a Sunday when everybody's got, you know, got time off, vote on paper ballots. And I mean, most of the precincts, even around me, I'm in a very heavily populated county. You can easily tabulate the vote, you know, by hand count at each one of the precincts. It's simple. There's no good reason for using this, the software and the systems that are built like Swiss cheese, where anybody, you know, any bad actors can, you know, can get into it. I mean, even the United States government through CISA said there are open holes in the system, but we don't want to print the report because then bad actors would know, you know, what's going on. And the reality is bad actors already know,
you know, so we don't want to cause a questioning of election integrity. So we're not going to let you know what the problems are. All right, exactly. Mr. Cross, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a short time out. When we come back, we'll speak to Johnny Vieira, a business consultant who developed an app called Votify Now, and he's going to tell us about the app and tell us how the app was used in Arizona to uncover serious questions in certain parts of Arizona in the voting for the 2022 election. We'll be right back with more on Through the Looking Glass on TNT Radio. I'm Scott Wheeler.
TNT Radio's David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan.
So what does it say about an industry that it even has need for such a position? I mean, it's not as if, oh, I'm going to work for McDonald's as the counterterrorism finance manager. It implies already that there was a risk within the system that they should have been aware of and been working against.
It was all window dressing. It looks, you know, on face value that the organization is committed to do the right thing, but an industry with so much money being involved, going through the machines, going through the various clubs, you know, one would think there's a lot of money to go around at $95 billion, but the majority of these clubs don't want to spend the money simply on putting these programs in place and you know, I found there was a lot of cutting the corners with that.
McBride and Brennan with David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Don't think you're the one losing your mind.
And I don't know how many commercials you'll see. 3 out of 5 have mixed race couples in them. That's not by accident. They're selling soap, man.
We can't believe it, but we cover it.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler in Washington, D.C. on TNT Radio. Now, let's stay on the same subject, but shift gears a little bit. Johnny Vieira is a consultant, entrepreneur, and founder of Vieira Business Ventures. He started this company on his own, and he's also created several successful tech companies responsible for a variety of innovative projects. Recently, Mr. Vieira developed the election integrity app known as Votify Now. And Votify Now is an intuitive app that helps users verify voter information in their local, state, and national elections. And the app is not just for verifying information. It can also report problems or suspicious activity around voter booths, around voting locations. And what Mr. Vieira discovered was in Arizona, where there's a tightly contested election. In fact, the challenger, Kari Lake, for governor of Arizona, has not conceded, and she claims that thousands of her voters were not allowed to vote on election day. And so Katie Hobbs, who was the Secretary of State in charge of the election, because she was Secretary of State, was on the ballot running against Ms. Lake to be governor of Arizona, and she says the election is fine. Now, here it is. And Arizona was one of those contested states also from the 2020 election, where very narrow, thin margin for Biden over Trump. And there were many questions asked, and it comes down to Maricopa County, which is once again, the big city in Arizona, Phoenix. So with that, let me bring in Mr. Vieira. Mr. Vieira, tell us a little bit about the app and what it does. And then let's talk about the many reports that you said you'd received regarding the Arizona voting problems.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. First, thanks for having me, Scott. Votify Now was live for the primaries. We just did launch this year, but we were live and running in most of the states for the primaries. Certainly Arizona, we had a big user base in Arizona, so we could already see the writing on the wall. And come the day of the midterms, I never seen anything like this. The app, which Votify Now, it is available in Google Play and in the App Store. It just started lighting up like a Christmas tree, and by probably 7:30, 8 a.m., I knew to secure the data of the reports that people would continue to report on all through the day of the stuff that they were seeing. We knew to just secure the information right away. We knew we'd be heading into lawsuits. And in fact, we are working with the Lake and Fincham, the whole team over there and their legal team, using a good portion of our data to try to prove what happened. And there was a whole lot of, let's just call it, irregularities. I try not to use the F word, if you know what I mean. But some of the stuff that I'm seeing people report are just unbelievable.
Can you give us an idea, some sampling, and can you give us a rough idea how many problems did your app curate during the election time? Were there hundreds, or were there thousands, or were there tens of thousands?
Any idea? No, I would probably say thousands. And it's pretty interesting, again, working with the legal team, they're trying to narrow it down. And I'm not sure I want to reveal, but they are trying to narrow it down to just one county. Probably not hard to guess what that county is. We collected incidents from all over the country and all the counties in Arizona. But it's really the incidents in a specific county that they're looking for. And just to give you, I mean, we had a smorgasbord of everything. The ones that really make me sad is people that showed up and tried to use their, try to insert their ballots. The thing kept spitting them out. There were several people that after, I guess I wasn't I'm not an Arizona resident. I didn't vote, but I guess some people just gave up. They would, after a certain amount of tries, they would have to get a new ballot or have another one printed, and maybe the printer didn't work. And I just heard so many stories of people saying they just had to go home without voting. And it's very, very sad when you could just hear the disappointment in some of these reports.
Lake herself, Carrie Lake, the Republican, reported herself, and there were news accounts that backed this up, that people showing up on election day in Phoenix, in Maricopa County, were having to wait in line for hours, and they were frustrated by when they got to the voting place itself, they were not able to vote, and they were sent to another polling place,
only to incur even a bigger line. Absolutely, there was a whole lot of people disenfranchised, people that didn't get to vote. And what really caught me off guard was just the emotion in some of these reports. The app is very easy to use. We make it so that you can simply bring up whatever type of incident you think you're seeing. And some people report in the mail-in ballot process that they're just finding a stack of ballots in their apartment complex, like hundreds, and just all kinds of abnormalities. But on election day, we were just getting just the most bizarre reports. One poll watcher had reported that he showed up around 5 a.m. to a brand new location just being opened. Equipment was brought in the night before to be used for the election. And this poll watcher said he could not believe what he was witnessing. Boxes, some of the drop boxes that were not secure with those clip-ons or whatever they used to secure. He said he was even able to lift one open and see that there was already ballots in a box. Now, keep in mind, this is 5 a.m. before any location is even open. And just a number of poll watchers reporting, not poll workers, these volunteer poll watchers, I think they call them poll observers. Whenever they would go to their superior or the judge or the inspector, so many of them would just say they were aggressively blown off. But there was just a few that I just could not believe what my eyes were reading. And we're definitely going to Carrie's fighting. So hopefully she gets a shot, and we're real proud to be able to offer some of our incidents to hopefully help.
Now, let me point out that the significance of the voter problems on election day itself is that Democrats have been effectively using this early voting that kind of sprung up during the pandemic for the 2020 election. We went from in the 2016 election, there were roughly 37 million ballots cast not on election day. In 2020, there was almost 100 million. So nearly triple the number of those sorts of ballots, ones that are collected or in states that allow ballot harvesting and in some that don't. You had ballots that were collected. And in fact, in Georgia, which we were discussing earlier with a previous expert witness, Mr. Cross, there is not ballot harvesting is not allowed, and yet there was evidence of fairly widespread ballot harvesting by a number of different sources, including Secretary of State Raffensperger in Georgia acknowledging that there was evidence of ballot harvesting, yet it's illegal there. So the idea of making it more difficult, some might say, well, look, if it's difficult for a Republican to vote on election day, then it's going to be just as difficult for a Democrat to vote on election day. But Democrats have circumvented that process by doing ballot harvesting and getting their ballots in before election day. And so then Republicans thinking the way to avert fraud is to vote on election day. Then they get caught in long lines, can't vote, and there seems to be this level of bureaucratic indifference to this on the part of the establishment in Arizona, or specifically Katie Hobbs, who is the Secretary of State who ran the election, who was on the ballot to be elected governor and claims she is the duly elected governor now. And yet there's very little media interest in this.
That strategy that the Republicans unfortunately seem to have unified on of voting on day of only works if the equipment's working. And I got to be honest, I have the advantage of seeing from a real high view, because of course I'm getting so many incidents reported from not only different counties, but different states, but certainly getting back to Arizona, I find it extremely hard to believe it was a coincidence that so many of these, of this equipment, the tabulators, the printers, I mean, almost every piece of equipment that was used for election day was failing at most of these locations. I don't know the exact percentage, but you know, it's very unfortunate, because that certainly would be the weak link in the chain of a strategy to go on and vote in person on election day. And it appears that's exactly what happened. I find it very hard to think that this was all a coincidence that so much equipment failed. And I'm not an attorney, so I'm not part of the legal process that Lake and her team will enter into, but we certainly are a part of the gathering evidence and information and handing it over. So hopefully they can use some of the materials that we were able to gather. The more voter users have the app downloaded, then the more reports that we can gather. So we're hoping folks in Georgia will go, again, they can get Votify Now, and that's Votify Now. They can get it at the Google Play Store for their Android phone, or they can go to the App Store. Or for anybody who doesn't want to use the app, we prefer they use it, but you can go to votifynow.org and report. Hit the report button. There's a report button in the upper right-hand corner. They can use that to report incidents. And we're really trying to get the word out in Georgia for the special election next week. And I have no idea. I don't know the Georgia election laws, but I do know that the more users report anything that they're seeing, the better chances of us having more ammo to fight back is how I sometimes
or establish a trend and find out what specifically is happening. We're going exactly. to take a short time out in just a second here. As I pointed out, once Republicans spend the required amount of money to become very good at ballot harvesting and early voting and getting out the vote early, that they eclipse the Democrats' operation, it'll suddenly overnight become racist to vote early. So we'll take a short time out with that, and we'll come back with more with Mr. Vieira and his voting app, Votify Now, right after these messages.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Here's a question. If there was a way for you to know just how likely you are to suffer a heart attack over the next 10 years, would you want to find out? Well, according to studyfinds.org, your outlook can be predicted from just one chest x-ray. Researchers with the Radiological Society of North America say it combines artificial intelligence with a standard x-ray to find patterns associated with hardening of the arteries. The technique offers hope that doctors will be able to prescribe vulnerable individuals cholesterol-reducing drugs before it's too late. A complex series of algorithms enables machines to make forecasts based on patterns and data. In tests, the system accurately predicted heart attacks and strokes. In a group who had the x-rays, about 10% of the patients suffered a major cardiac event over the average follow-up of just over a decade. Cardiovascular disease is the world's number one killer, claiming almost 18 million lives a year. So take it from this hypochondriac. If you can get this done, it sounds like you should get it done. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
In regional and rural areas of our great country, the sun brings a heavy toll. Skin cancer hits us hard. And if you've spent a lot of time out under the sun, your risk is high. Melanoma is the deadliest skin cancer, but it's curable if you get it early. Monthly skin checks are a must. If a spot, mole, or freckle doesn't look or feel right, don't wait. To find out more, visit melanomapatients.org.au.
Listen. Listen up!
Now listen, we gotta talk.
It's what we do best.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler on TNT Radio in Washington, D.C. Joining us is our expert witness on election voting applications is Johnny Vieira. Mr. Vieira created an app called Votify Now, It is a way that voters, every voter that downloads the app, can report problems or suspicious behavior in when they go to vote. And where this comes in to help would be in the event that things go wrong, like what happened in Arizona. You have a situation where the data can show a trend, can show where it happened most frequently, and that can help identify where there's a potential voter misconduct, voting misconduct, either by the officials who are supposed to be conducting a fair election who might be suspect, or whether it's machine problems, that kind of thing. It's a very unique idea. It never occurred to me that someone should create such an item. But how did it occur to you to create Votify now, Mr. Rivera?
Well, so I had just sold a financial company, another platform that basically it was a financial company that was, it's a brick and mortar. They're trying to go more digital. So that's what Vieira Business Ventures, which you had mentioned at the top of the show. That's my company where if I'm doing things right, I have a client, they'll tell me a need, and then I will build it. Usually there's a mobile app and website involved. With this particular situation, I had come to Florida after building a product for a company, but with COVID, their offices were on lockdown. I didn't have the opportunity to start training their team, so I had a lot of downtime and was really thinking a lot about election integrity. This had been, it already was on my radar with Stacey Abrams' last bid for, I believe that was, I guess, 2018. So that was already percolating. And by 2020, I thought, you know, somebody has to build a better mousetrap here. Everybody's certainly lost confidence in the process. So about 18 months ago, I started to think about it. Usually I sketch out, or what they call wireframing. Some people do it digitally. I like to sketch out the concepts. Okay, user would go here. This would happen. This would happen. And my original plan, so it's interesting. There was different phases. Originally, I had where the user would sign up with all their information. First name, last name, you know. I found when we did release the first version, almost nobody wanted to sign up. And when we were asking why, we sent out a survey, people to their email address. Most people were saying they didn't feel comfortable that there was a possibility of any, you know, agency or whatever having all their information. So we had changed it where we gave them an anonymous option, and the signups just must have quadrupled. Most people, I would say 60% of people, still do sign up on the app with their information, but having that ability to give their username seemed to be a game changer. And there's just one other thing that I want to throw in real quick. The app actually is a two-prong process. When a user reports an incident, we have the ability, once we verify it, we have the ability in real time within, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes to push that incident back out through the app to all the app users in that area. So that way, in real time, if someone is, we see a number of people reporting that maybe there's a polling location that's shutting down, we can push out that report on the app to all the users so that we can save some people's time. It's basically the equivalent of, we try to put out a little small, you know, campfire before it has a chance to turn into a raging forest fire inferno of, you know, voter irregularities. So there's two sides to the app. One, people report incidents and we send the incident back out to all the users in that county. And then two, if we really think it's serious, we lock down, we secure that data, keep chain of custody of the data to be used exactly like what's happening in Arizona. So, and I will tell you that in Arizona, the incident started just pouring in starting around 7 or 8 a.m. I knew right away that ability of pushing incidents out in real time, I knew that was off the table. because there was just way too much. Hundreds of incidents were coming in an hour. There's no way you could keep everybody updated. So we just went into secure data mode and preserve it in case there is, you know, legal battles afterwards. And that was the right decision. That's exactly what's happening in Arizona right now. Now in Georgia, we don't know yet. So we do encourage everybody to download the app, have it ready to go, report anything you're seeing, because we may be using the other functionality. It's called, there's an additional incident button on the app right there where people can report. They can also click a button and see incidents being reported. They click that additional incident button and a map pops up with hotspots, dots representing other incidents all in their area. They could see where they're standing and they could see other incidents all marked by dots on the map around them. They could touch a dot and then the incident pulls up of what's going on around them. So we might implement that other additional incident in Georgia if it looks like, you know, there's just incidents here and there. Of course, if it's another Arizona where just incidents are flooding in, you know, multiple incidents per minute, then we'll just have to go with the securing data for post-election battles.
So in the case of Arizona, you started seeing early signs that there were problems. Do you have an idea how many people in Georgia, for example, have downloaded the app? Do you have a rough number, or is too hard to isolate?
No, well, that's a good question, Scott. We do not feel that we have anywhere nearly enough to make an impact in Georgia. Now, here's the one factor that we don't know. Some people choose not to download the app and to just report it on the website, which again is fine, but just so that your audience knows, that creates a lot more work for Votify Now, for us, because we have to take the info from the website take each item by item and put it into the database. Whereas when a user submits it through the app, everything is automated. The user doesn't have to do anything because their location, the time, so much of it is automated. This is the beauty with the you know, smart technology, and it saves us time. So we don't know exactly how many users there are, but we're certainly looking over the next few days to try to ramp up the amount of users. But I would have to guess what the number is. I know it's not nearly enough. Arizona, we were ready for, but there was several candidates, Mark Fincham and others already talking about Votify Now, what Wendy Rogers. So we had a big impact in Arizona and were able to contribute a lot of info for their legal battle. With Georgia, I'm really hoping in the next few days we can at least get another, you know, 50%, 100% more users. So that's what we're working on.
There is a special election on Tuesday in Georgia, Tuesday the December the 6th. And so that is this special election that will determine whether or not the Senate, U.S. Senate, is balanced 50 Republican, 50 Democrat, or whether it's 51 Democrat, 49 Republican. And so it's a rather contentious election between Herschel Walker, former football star at University of Georgia and NFL football player, and Raphael Warnock, who is the incumbent based on the special election in 2020 that also required a runoff, and he won. Many blamed Trump in that case because they say that he suppressed some of the Republican votes by saying why bother, the election's rigged, or something of that nature. And so this should really be a kind of a renaissance election in Georgia, because now there's two candidates on the ballot, and it's not the results won't be conflated by the governor's race or the the popularity of any other person. It's directly Walker versus Warnock. And so we should get a pretty clear example of whether or not Georgia is a red state or trending blue, as Democrats led by Stacey Abrams there believe it is. We're coming up on the end of the hour, and I want to thank both Mr. Cross and Mr. Vieira for joining us today. This is quite an invention you've come up with, Mr. Vieira, this Votify Now app that should that could really change how people view elections in the future and help elucidate some of these problems that happen that we only hear about too far after the fact.
Yeah, no, thank you, Scott. One quick thing, last note for your audience. Please get the app. If you can't use the app, go to the website, votifynow.org. Also, there's three other sections of the app. It's not just for election integrity.
Mr. Vieira, we are all out of time. Thank you again for joining us. And
you're
for Through the Looking Glass, I'm Scott Wheeler signing off.